Good morning to all of you. Thank you for that very warm welcome that we received this morning. It is such a blessing to have fellowship with you and to worship the Lord together. And maybe for those who have not known me yet, my name is Rio Mancio. I originally came from the Philippines, and we arrived here 23 years ago in Cork. And we attend fellowship in Douglas Baptist Church. And so I am grateful for this privilege to be here today and bring God's word to you this morning. So let's open our Bibles now in the book of Luke, in chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. We'll continue with your series here in the Gospel according to Luke, from where you left, I believe, in verse 38, where the angel Gabriel left Mary after she received the message. So let us read the passage. This is the word of God. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Let's first ask the Lord for help. Father, we come to your throne of grace to ask you to bless your word this morning. Would you reveal the glory of your Son to us in your word? May you use this few moments for me to serve your people faithfully. May you cause everyone to hear your word for the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. How would you respond to a favor you've never imagined yourself receiving? I remember around this time of the year, 20 years back. It is the month when excitement for me and my wife was building up, and the preparation for the coming of our first baby was getting finalized. When my wife Lorna got pregnant with our first baby, we were both in tears when the pregnancy test result came back positive. We have prayed for it, and we were thankful that God has granted our request. We said to ourselves, our dream of having our own family has now started to come to reality. We were preoccupied about the coming of our first baby. So we started to plan things like making a list of names for a baby boy and also for a baby girl. We also thought about the do's and don'ts of Lorna's physical activity and also for her diet. But most of all, about when are we going to tell our families back home in the Philippines and also our friends here in Ireland about Lorna's expectancy. But Mary has a different situation. After the angel Gabriel had left her, she probably soon realized that she had to deal with a difficult situation. Situations like, how is she going to tell the people around her about having a baby? First, her parents. How is she going to tell them about what happened? Even though we will say that her parents are godly, this angel visitation during that generation would seem to be unusual. It's been 400 years of deafening silence since the prophet Malachi. What about Joseph? She is betrothed to him. She probably is looking forward for the wedding, yet how is she going to explain it to him? What if Joseph will tell others, I am not the father of Mary's baby? Maybe Mary will be in trouble. She could even be at risk of being stoned to death. What about her friends and relatives? The whole community? She will surely be the talk of the town for a certain period of time. Mary bears the Messiah? How could it be? Among all the women in Israel? Who does she think she is for making such a claim? It must have been difficult for Mary to be in that situation, especially as a teenager, that she has to deal with such a situation. But the Lord is on the move and He is always ahead. By His grace, He moved people to affirm about His Son. He gave Mary a sign in verse 36. He provided her with her relative Elizabeth, who in her old age and was said to be barren, is now 6 months pregnant. God has performed His mighty deeds on her too. The Lord knows that Mary needs someone, a fellow believer who could relate in her situation and say to her, I believe you, Mary. I believe that what you are saying is true. Just like us believers, God has provided us with our fellow believers so we can encourage each other. That as we gather, or as we meet, or as we greet each other, just like this morning when we meet, when I first time saw you, we affirm to one another that I believe in the same God that you believe. And that is such comfort. And also an encouragement for us as we live in this world that is hostile to God. And so let us now look at our text. Look with me in verse 39 to 40. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Judea is about 700 to 800 miles from Nazareth. It will be about a 3 to 4 days journey from Nazareth, considering that it is an uphill region. Mary went to see Elizabeth, of course, to speak to her about what happened and to confirm the sign given to her by the angel. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And before Mary opened her mouth to tell Elizabeth about her child, the baby, John, leapt in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in a loud voice. She exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who had believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Just a side note that prior to the day of Pentecost, believers were filled with the Holy Spirit for specific tasks. And here, we could see that the Holy Spirit has revealed to Elizabeth that the child in Mary's womb is the Messiah, as she called Mary, the mother of my Lord, in verse 43. Another similar encounter of this kind of working of the Holy Spirit is with Simeon. When he recognized baby Jesus as the Messiah, even though that was their first encounter in chapter 2. And in verse 42, Elizabeth, under the moving of the Holy Spirit, affirmed to Mary that the message she received from the angel is real. That she is favored among women because the child in her womb is the Messiah. And because of that, Elizabeth is in overwhelming joy for this big surprise of a great favor given to her by the Lord. And that is to have her Lord visit her with his earthly mother. Then she reaffirmed to Mary that everything that happened to her is true, because even her baby, John, in her womb, lived for joy of her coming. For the mothers here, you're familiar with this experience of the baby moving inside your womb. To the fathers, the mothers have probably shared this to you too. But in Elizabeth's case, she is sure that this is different, that John moved in a different way. He lit for joy inside his mother's womb for the coming of the Messiah. He already started his work even though he's just 6 months old. He already pointed his mother to Jesus. And the result, Elizabeth confessed the Messiah, that is Jesus, as her Lord, even before his birth. On the other hand, isn't it amazing that in our time, when people have heard a lot about Jesus, and that he has already done his mission, yet people are having the difficulty to confess Jesus as their Lord? But what about you? Have you confessed that Jesus is your Lord? Elizabeth rejoiced in the coming of her Lord because she knew about her need for a Savior. And that need was answered. Have you acknowledged your need for a Savior? Have you also acknowledged that that need has been answered? Let's move on to verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary is blessed because of her faith. It is a God-given gift. She is blessed because she took God by His word and held firmly to it that He will fulfill His promises. Just like the song that we sang this morning, forever God is faithful. That is who our God is. What about you? Do you call yourself blessed? That you are blessed because you have taken God by His word? That you believe that He will fulfill His promises? You might not have the fancy things in this world, or maybe that's something that you've been asking for. Maybe a dream job to others. To those who have no spouse, a spouse or a house for some, or a holiday. But you still have the reason to be joyful. Being blessed is about who you are. If you are in Christ, you are blessed. But there is still more in this. Let us take a second look. Elizabeth and Mary have both remarkable stories to tell. Elizabeth is said to be old and barren. We can see the picture of Sarah's story on her in Genesis 18. And now she is pregnant. Mary is young, a teenager, a virgin carrying the Messiah in her womb. Both of them are excited to tell their stories to each other. Elizabeth is older, and in verse 6, righteous in the sight of God and observes all the Lord's commands blamelessly, received this totally unimaginable chance of pregnancy. She could have asserted her privilege for all these reasons to put the spotlight on herself by telling her story first to Mary. But she did not. She submitted herself to the moving of the Holy Spirit and celebrated Mary's story instead. She rejoiced in God's work to others. She expanded Mary's joy by rejoicing with her in the blessing that she received. And the same for us, brothers and sisters. We have so much to rejoice about. If we will rejoice in every blessing that each and every one of us here receives from the Lord. Elizabeth, being a recipient of God's grace and mercy, accepted God's gift, responded in humble gratitude, and committed herself to the Lord and to others. She thought about herself less and regarded others above herself. Elizabeth refused to be amazed by her own importance. Let us see what happened 30 years later. Her son, when one of his disciples came to him and said, John, we are losing people here. They are moving to another camp. Then John said to this disciple, "He must increase, I must decrease." Blessed are parents who teach their child humility. Let us move now to Mary's response. Mary responded in praise and adoration to God in a song. Let's read verse 46 to 47. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary said that her whole being is caught up in praise to God. The Lord, the Sovereign One. She elevates the name of God to the highest. That her whole being gives all the glory to Him. That there is no greater treasure Mary has than God in her life. She is a remarkable teenager. Despite the situation ahead of her, is able to praise God in a song. This speaks a lot to us. She sang a song that consisted of words from the entire Old Testament. It appears that Mary, at her age, is already well-rooted in scriptures. She used God's truth to praise God and didn't just let herself get carried away by her emotion. She let God's truth to declare His greatness. What a great example to us, Mary is. This should encourage all of us, especially our young people, to immerse ourselves in God's Word. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "A good man brings good things stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full." In here, Mary stored up God's word in her heart. No wonder why God is always present here in Mary's song. This must challenge those who follow Mary to immerse in God's word and fill their hearts with God's word too. Going back to the song, I don't know about you, but have you ever experienced in your life when you dealt with a difficult situation that you can't even sing nor listen to a song? I have. But Mary is such an example for us because she still managed to sing despite having a problem. But what is the reason for Mary's joy? Let's read verse 47. "And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." The reason is God and His salvation. The reason has infinite worth than the difficulties that she is facing. Her joy is not coming from the external circumstances, but from God who loves her and is faithful to fulfill His promises. The difficulties that she has, in a way, we can say, are not really major. Mary knows that there is a greater burden in her heart that she carries that truly bothers her, but now is given an answer, and that is the burden of sin. But now, she rejoices because her Savior has come to rescue her from it. There is a claim that Mary has no sin. But here, it is very clear that Mary herself is telling us that that claim has no basis. Even in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 24, says that Joseph and Mary have to go to the temple to present Jesus and to bring an offering for Mary's purification after childbirth. Mary knows very well that she needs to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. And so Mary called God her Savior. She made it personal. She didn't call God our Savior or the Savior, but my Savior. May I ask you before we continue, is God your Savior? Is Jesus your Savior? Do you believe that Jesus came for your rescue? Because just like Mary, you and I need a Savior. Salvation cannot be found in religion or rituals. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ, the only Savior, who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless and perfect life, went to the cross and was lifted up to die in the place of sinners, was buried, was raised from the dead, and has ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And if you have acknowledged your sin and have put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you can say with Mary today, God, my Savior. If you have not done this yet, I urge you to come to Christ today and put your trust in Him. Mary continued to point out the reason for her rejoicing. It is about who God is and what He has done for her. And every time she opens her mouth, the primary character that she always mentions is God, and not herself. In verse 48, "For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary is in complete amazement of the fact that of all the women on earth, God has zoomed in His sight on her, and nobody from an unpopular place to receive the favor to become known by all generations for being chosen by God to perform this one privileged mission throughout history, to bear and to deliver on earth the Son of God to become the Son of Man. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. God put His gaze on Mary because she is humble. God saw the humble state of her soul. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." This must be a reminder for us that if you want to be used by God, we have to humble ourselves before Him. God has given Mary a special task to do because she is humble. And the same to us as believers. God has given us a task to do too. Just a different task than Mary's. And that is to deliver the good news. Deliver the good news. That is Christ to others. And in verse 49, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." She acknowledged God's power, that God can do what man cannot do. In verse 37, the angel said, "For nothing will be impossible to God." That means whatever God has planned, He can make it happen because He has the power to get it done. In verse 49, she also mentioned God's holiness, that God is not like us. He is high above and lifted up. He is magical. He has no sin. He is pure and perfect. And so whatever His plan is, Mary is confident that those plans are perfect and will be accomplished. Verse 50, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. She spoke about God's mercy, that God is merciful and has shown mercy throughout all generations, from Adam and Eve to present. In fact, God's mercy is the reason why we are here and able to hear His word today. But not everyone avails His mercy. His mercy extends to those who fear Him. Only those who fear Him receive His mercy. To those who regard Him in all that they do, to those who take Him by His word, to those who repent and put their trust in Him. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. In verse 51, He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. This tells us that God is powerful. God is spirit and He has no arm, but the arm signifies His strength. An arm so powerful that can sweep, disperse, and crush the proud and humiliate their pride without failure. A power to defeat anything at any time. Verse 52. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. In verse 53 also, He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. That tells that God is a champion of the poor, the oppressed and the despised. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. Think about those proud men in history. Let's say the Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar. And many in the past that we know. They are all gone. God has dethroned them. And the proud men of today, boasting about the power of their position and of their wealth, God will also send them away empty. God will humble the proud. He will not let them compete with His glory. And so if you're proud, humble yourself before God, and He will lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Verse 54 and 55. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, as He promised our ancestors. Mary spoke about God's faithfulness. He is faithful to His word. He fulfills all, not some, but all His promises, that after 400 years of silence, God's help is here, Mary said. God has not forgotten His promise to Abraham and to his descendants. Mary understood that her son is the fulfillment of God's promised seed. No wonder why Mary is not surprised when Jesus finally announced that he is the Messiah. What a remarkable song from a teenager like Mary. She gave all the praises to the Lord and never took any credit for herself. Her understanding about God is so impressive. No wonder why he is humble. All that Mary did is point us to God. It is evident that she is someone who is concerned about God's glory, and so she cast all the praises to God and never pointed to herself the credit for being blessed. There is a lot of rejoicing in this passage for the unexpected pouring of grace and mercy of God to them. Mary responded in humble gratitude by offering herself to be used by God to fulfill his purpose and selflessly cast all the praises and glory to him. Elizabeth also responded to the grace and mercy of God by serving God, by considering the interest of others above her own. Mary and Elizabeth's beautiful heart attitude of humility pointed us to what is this coming king is going to do. He came to serve and not to be served. And 33 years later, he said, yet not my will, but yours be done. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. He gave his life so that we might live. So brothers and sisters, let us not forget who our God is. Let us not forget the price of the gift of God for our salvation. Salvation that we have received. Let us respond to him in humble gratitude and reaffirm our commitment to him. Let us pray. Father, deliver us from the sin of living for ourselves. May you cause us to live and walk in humility, that we would be willing to put aside all selfishness and submit in obedience to you and your word. Help us to live for Christ and follow his example. And that is for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.